the big question. Are mortgage modifications keeping more people in their homes?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Mortgage applications rose last week, lifting the number of refinancing loans to its highest level in more than a year, thanks to low interest rates. A tiny morsel of good news in a buffet of bad housing news. Yesterday, news came down that the sales of previously owned homes plunged between June and July. We'll get new home sales numbers later today. So then here's this morning's big question. It's one we've asked before about people having problems with their home loans and whether they're getting any relief from programs designed to help. A new report out today says yes, efforts to prevent foreclosures are working out better these days. That's according to a group of state banking regulators found homeowners who got recent mortgage modifications are less likely to wind up back in default. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live this morning from Baltimore with the latest. Morning, Amy.
Morning, Steve.
Sounds like good news. Why the change?
Well, it's partly because home prices have stabilized. People who had their loan payments reduced last year were half as likely to fall behind as those who got a break in 2008. Here's how Chris Mayer at Columbia Business School explains it.
People who saw their mortgages modified watched house prices continue to fall, and that really killed many modifications that had started because people just saw that they're, even with the modification, they were terribly underwater.
As in, they owed the bank more than their house was worth. And, Steve, it wasn't just the market getting better. Mayer says lenders are also more willing to give people a reduction on the balance of their loans, not just their monthly payments, and that helps too.
Mm-hmm. So, Amy, how is this going to affect the housing market where, we have these lousy sales numbers?
Right. Well, in theory, it could mean fewer foreclosures than analysts have been predicting, and that could help stabilize the market. But this report points out that foreclosures still far outpace mortgage modifications. Mm-hmm.
Marketplace's Amy Scott reporting from Baltimore this morning. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
S&P has downgraded Ireland's credit rating down to AA-, and the ratings giant said a worse grade could be on its way. The moves throw into question Ireland's fledgling economic recovery, and it once again exposes a catch-22 faced by several European countries, the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
Standard & Poor's is worried about how much it's costing Ireland to help out its troubled banks. The agency's new calculations put the Irish bill at over $100 billion. Richard Jeffrey from Cazenove Capital Asset Management says international financial markets aren't actually that worried about Ireland. They're wondering whether the same thing will happen to other countries.
There are still very extreme issues with public sector finances in countries like Greece, Portugal, to a lesser extent Spain. But then, of course, the contagion effect. Do we look at Italy? Do we look at France? And, of course, we've got to consider the UK as well.
Across Europe, governments are struggling with the problem of how to cut their spending without diverting too much money from a recovery. Ireland's downgrade reinforces the fact that finding the balance is a big challenge. But the real test will come on Thursday, when Ireland tries to raise up to $750 million in debt. The price the country gets will give a clear signal of what the market really thinks about its prospects. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
That downgrade in Ireland, the threat of more European debt, among other things, affecting markets today. European and Asian shares are off following the U.S.'s lead from yesterday. That sour home sales report we talked to you about at the beginning of the program, well, helped stocks go down. The Dow fell 133 points to close at 10,040. Word this morning that orders for big ticket items, what we know as durable goods, were slightly higher, but not by much and less than expected.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com.
For a lot of people, few things bring as much pleasure in the morning as that first cup of coffee. And for a number of companies, coffee is certainly big business. But the beverage has created some complicated recycling and environmental questions as well. Marketplace's sustainability reporter Adrian Hill joins me now in the studio to talk about it. Morning, Adrian.
Good morning.
So what's the problem with coffee then?
Some of the ways we make coffee and the ways we drink coffee are posing some problems for companies that want to be environmentally friendly.
So break that down then.
Well, I bet a whole lot of people listening right now have in your hands or in your car cup holder a paper coffee cup. And it turns out those coffee cups are super hard to recycle.
But I thought paper you could recycle.
With paper in these paper cups, there's this waxy coating that actually proves really problematic.
And how many cups are we talking about, Adrian?
I've seen estimates as high as 58 billion with a B paper coffee cups are thrown out in the U.S. every year.
Wow. Now, that's a lot of cups.
And we haven't even mentioned styrofoam.
What about the folks who make coffee at home? You said there were issues with that as well?
Yeah, K-cups, those little single-use packets of ground coffee, they sort of look like creamer containers, are impossible to recycle. People like them, though. They're convenient. They're easy. And it's a real problem for companies like Green Mountain Coffee. It sort of built its business around environmental responsibility. But in the third quarter of this year, more than 80% of their net sales were related to those little non-recyclable K-cups.
Oh, wow. So what to do?
Well, if you're a company like Starbucks or Green Mountain Coffee, you're trying to innovate and get your suppliers to innovate quickly. The rest of us, regular coffee drinkers, maybe should consider brewing our coffee the old-fashioned way or bringing along a cup if you go out.
Marketplace's Adrian Hill here in the studio. Adrian, thanks.
Thank you.
And by the way, there are 5 tips to make your cup of joe more environmentally friendly at our website, marketplace.org. And finally, a cautionary tale about using online social networks on the job. The NFL has slapped Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Chad Ochocinco with a $25,000 fine for tweeting. Seems number 85 sent out messages just before and during last Friday night's preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles. No, the Football League has nothing against Twitter, only the timing of Ochocinco's tweets. Ochocinco apologized how? Yeah, on Twitter, tweeting, quote, "I won't do it again." Funny, my job really likes it when I tweet. You can follow me on Chiatakis, MMR, on Twitter. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.